Meeting to order. We have Reverend Scott Allen from United Methodist Church here to do the invocation, and then directly following that, we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. So if you would all stand, please.
Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, as we enter this church season of Advent, we wish to celebrate the many expressions of peace that bless our lives. And we also look for indications that even greater signs of peace are coming. During this special holiday season, help us to enjoy the many activities that we have scheduled for ourselves, while also taking time to reflect upon the meaning we experience when we serve others and not just ourselves. May we be accepting of the diverse traditions within our community, knowing that we benefit more from what we can share than from what divides us. Let us embrace a hopefulness, a trust, and a cooperation as we work together for the benefit of our community. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Reverend Allen. First, Chris, would you call the roll?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Here.
Councilmember Christensen?
Here.
Council President Boothland Vanderhaar?
Here.
Councilmember McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. First item is the consent agenda. Any questions or comments or motions?
I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boothland Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. First item after that is community reports from Ada County Sheriff's Office. We have John McDaniel, our police chief.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, John McDaniel, Gunna Police Chief. I was able to give you a copy of our yearly report. We're usually a few months behind. But that did just come out a couple weeks ago. And if you turn to page 2, there's just a couple areas of the measures that matter that are kind of pertinent to our policing here in CUNA. The very first one is 911 calls answered in 10 seconds. You'll see that the counties write out that they were at 75% last year. The target is 90%. So we still have some work to do in our dispatch center. They take a ton of calls in there, and it's tough finding people that want to do that job and then keeping them. Of our last dispatch group that went through the academy and then through the training, only one of the six wanted to stay on after they took a couple really tough calls. So it takes, we try to prepare them, we try to get them plugged in many times before we send them through the academy, but so we're trying very hard to recruit more people, and so we can get those numbers closer to where we'd like. That's a national standard, that 90% or more of your calls within that 10-second period, and that is 911 calls.
Chief, yes. So how are they on staff? Are they understaffed?
They're understaffed, yeah. It's been mandatory overtime in there for a few years, and so they we have a consolidated dispatch center, which means that we dispatch at 5 or 6 fire departments, medics, and then 4 different police departments. And so it's very complicated. Not all dispatch centers are like that. In fact, people come from all over the country to look at ours. So it is, there's a lot of training that goes into being able to sit at all those different positions. And we really encourage, as we do for citizen ride-alongs in our police cars, we also encourage citizens to come plug in at dispatch. I think it's a really learning, you know, there's the 911 call side, and then there's the police side, and then also the fire side. And so there's definitely 3 distinct areas in dispatch that are, it's kind of interesting to plug in with them. We really encourage that.
Good. Thank you.
You bet. The second one on there is you'll see the average patrol response times to critical emergencies. So that is a code 3 call where we are running lights and sirens. and you'll see that the county's response time for the last fiscal year was 5 minutes and 38 seconds. That was also below our desired goal of 5 minutes. One on the positive note, here in CUNA, our response times did go down 7 seconds from 3 minutes and 22 seconds to 3 minutes and 15 seconds. We're definitely proud of that number, considering that our geographical area has been expanding. And then you'll see, if you turn to page 3, it discusses the one of the sheriff's duties to process driver's licenses. And with the STAR card and just the population increase in Ada County, that has been a massive challenge. And so that is something that, the latest update, I just called Kelly Bolichek, who's over our area that does driver's licenses, and she said that the Board of County Commissioners, in conjunction with the sheriff and Bob McQuaid, are working on two different locations. They've done a lot of studying through the Department of Development Services with the BOCC, and it looks like they're down to a couple locations. One is at Chinden and 16, and the one that I'm pulling for is more towards the freeway here off of Linder. So they should be making that decision in the next probably couple months, and hope to have it opened in about a year from right now. So,
good.
And I know there's a lot of information on these four pages, but I stand for any questions.
Okay, questions for Chief. I will say that, you know, stats and all that aside, that our police do an amazing job of really communicating well with the citizens and doing their best to have a positive impact on people. I know you spend a lot of time with community policing, which is very important. We don't have to spend quite so much time on the emergency calls when we can take care of some of those other things before the onset. So I appreciate that very much, and I'm really pleased with our officers that we have in CUNA also. So.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much. Business items. Consideration to accept November 5th CUNA city election results. Chris Ingalls.
Council Mayor, it's standard for us to accept the vote tallies. They're canvassed by the county and then forwarded it to us. And I stand for any questions.
And we just need a motion to accept those findings, correct?
To accept the...
I move we accept the November 5th, 2019 CUNA City election results.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to accept the November 5th, 2019 CUNA City election results. Is there any further discussion?
Mayor?
Yes.
Is there going to be a recount, do you know?
Not that you know of.
Okay. And there was only 10 days, is it?
I believe it was 20 calendar 20 days in which to request, so the
is
deadline
that time
has
expired now then?
Councilmember Cardozo, are you asking if there's been a request for a recount? Yeah, there's been no request for a recount. No
okay.
Time set.
Okay.
All right. Any further questions? Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Informational only FY19 budget results presentation, Jared Empey.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Do we have the slides for the screens? Sorry, this will make a little bit more sense if we can see the numbers. Yeah, it should be in the packet. All right.
The other one turned on. And now back off. They're both on.
I did figure out one day that that one's got something on it that runs this one, and if that one doesn't work, this one doesn't work. Took an IT guy to figure that out.
That's why they pay him the big bucks.
All right. So before you is the cash reconciliation that we put together at the end of the year. So as you can see, each bank account that the city has. And this shows a dramatic increase from the prior fiscal year. So just for reference, last year, under the city's management, we had $19.5 million under the city's management. And at the end of September, we had $26 million. So pretty large increase. Some of that was due to just really good results from our funds. Some of it was also due to our agency fund having more under the city's custody. And one positive thing that you will notice from this is the certificate of deposit that we have currently with ICCU for $15 million, which is currently generating $45,000 a month. So we're really proud of that. And currently, per year, we're earning about $500,000 in interest. So you can see how having cash under management really helps. Then if we can flip to the next slides. Keep going. So this finance worksheet shows all the detail of where we came for each fund, line by line, for the fiscal year. Now, obviously, this is a lot of information to take in. And as a whole, the city did very well of managing, staying in budget, and even surpassing our budget. And one thing that, so if you want a quick recap, at the end of each fund, there is a number. So if you can flip to page 3, Chris. Keep going. So at the end of each fund, keep going, right there. So at the end of each fund, there's a net total. So for the general fund, we were positive $1.1 million. So that means that we brought in $1.1 million more than we spent. So very responsible there. And we had very similar results for many of our other funds. For the grant fund, we brought in $5,000 more. Our latecomers fund is very strong. We brought in $1.3 million more than we spent. Our water fund was exceedingly strong, brought in $2.1 million more than we spent. And then some of the other funds, our sewer fund. Our sewer fund was the one fund that even though we kept within budget on as a whole, it's one fund that I've had concerns about. Just sewer infrastructure is very expensive. For instance, the Orchard lift station itself cost $2.7 million to get up and running. Many sewer infrastructure projects are easily north of $1 million. And so that's one fund that we're currently looking at, and we're analyzing to see exactly how to make sure that the long-term sustainability of that fund is maintained. Pressurized irrigation fund also did very well. It came in at $1.2 million positive. And then our solid waste fund, obviously we're just a pass-through on that, but we were also positive on it. And let's see, we can skip the agency fund. Our capital projects fund, this is where we build out different projects that are governmentally based, such as our splash pad or other projects. And then finally, our park impact fee fund. we brought in net, well, we brought in more than we spent by $272,000, and our police impact fee fund brought in at the end of the close of the fiscal year about $13,000. So all in all, the health of the city is very good. The only item that may be an item for concern is the sewer fund, and the reason for that is just the high cost of infrastructure. So just so you have, so you can put it in perspective, so there's two things that you want to plan for with infrastructure. You want to maintain the current system, and then you want to make sure that the system is meeting demand that will come. So the demand that will come, we usually plan for using impact fund monies that come through our building permit process, and in maintaining the system, we want to make sure is maintained through user fees. And one item to keep in mind is, so for instance, our North Wastewater Treatment Plant originally cost $30 million, and just so that we have a frame of reference, let's say the sewer treatment plant had a 30-year life. So in that instance, theoretically, the city should be setting aside within the sewer fund $1 million per year just to maintain the North Wastewater Treatment Plant that's at its current level. So as you can see, the cost of infrastructure is very expensive, and it's important to stay ahead of that curve rather than falling behind on that. And I stand for any questions or comments or
anything you might have. Jared? So one thing that will be coming up is we've done a rate study, and that will be published a couple of times and then come before you for a public hearing. I think with the timing of the publications on it, it'll probably be the 7th of January meeting where that comes forward. So that's when we'll really get to take a dive-in look at the wastewater treatment fund and those kind of things and see where we're at with that. But those capital improvement project costs, the building increase in those costs have gone up dramatically over the past couple, 3 years. As you recall, when we did the downtown revitalization project, those bids came in, I believe it was around $300,000 over what we had originally estimated. And so that seems to be, kind of looks like maybe some of that stuff's kind of leveling out now, but who knows, I guess as people get busy, they're going to charge more. So that's kind of where that goes, and our hands are a little bit tied on some of these things. When we go out to bid with them, we have to put those items out to bid, and unless you can come up with some substantial change to the project, if the bids all come in too high, we're kind of stuck with either not doing the project or making some significant material changes to those bids so we can go out and put them out for bid again. Otherwise, they call it bid shopping, and we don't get to do that as a city. Most in the public sector, people can, if things come in too high, they can hunt for bids until they find one that they can afford, but we don't have that luxury, so that does create problems sometimes. So. But anyway, that should be coming before you on the 7th, so if you see that advertised, that's kind of what that's about. That's that study that was, rate study that was done. So. Any questions or comments for Jared?
No, thank you.
Always good news to be in the black instead of the red, so that's a good thing. Okay, very good. Mayor Council announcements. I guess we have a runoff election in both Caldwell on a council seat and Boise for a mayor seat, so we'll see how those come out tonight, but that'll be interesting. Yeah.
Mayor and members of the council, I think a question was asked by Councilman Cardozo with regards to when they can ask for a recount. I've checked the statute. It's 20 days from the date of the canvass. They have to make a written request for a recount, so that time period is passed.
Thank you.
The man with the answers.
Had a couple things.
Chris?
Lots of holiday stuff coming up. 14th of December is the Down Home Country at the old gym, the parade. We have the Artisan Crafter Show, cookie decorating, the lighting of the Christmas tree with hot cocoa, and then that also kicks off the Greenbelt lighting back behind City Hall. And then this year also there will be bus tours going through the subdivisions to kind of just show some Christmas lights, and pretty affordable to take a ride. The Arts Commission's facilitating that. So those are some of the holiday stuff going on.
Awesome. Thank you. And they've done a lovely job of decorating around in here today, so we're in the Christmas spirit. Ho, ho, ho. All right. Anybody else have anything you wanted to rumor?
No.
All right. Well, then that just leads us to convene to an executive session. Yeah, so you have a couple of items up.
I move we adjourn to executive session pursuant to Idaho Code Section 74206(1)(c) and E. Under C, to receive information regarding the acquisition of an interest in real property not owned by the city, and under Section E, to consider preliminary negotiations involving matters of trade or commerce in which the governing body is in competition with governing bodies in other states or nations.
Second. Motion is made and seconded to convene to executive session pursuant to Idaho Code Section 74-206(1)(c) and E. Is any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Ruben Blondar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carried. Who all do we need to have here for these? We got Bill and Lisa and Bob.
And Mark Bybee.
And Mark. And Bobby.